morning. We're very thankful to see everyone here this morning, everyone who had the ability to come out and to worship God in spirit and in truth. And we realize there are some here present this morning that aren't feeling a full measure of health, and we're very thankful for their presence as well. This morning I'd like to talk for a short time about the parable of the good seed. I got to thinking about this on the way here, and really the seed is good regardless. It's the ground that we're going to find is determines is good or bad, not the seed itself. But that's what we're going to call our lesson this morning. And we're going to talk for a short time about this parable as well as people of that day and also people of today that talk about the Bible being hard to understand and things of this nature. So we're going to try to incorporate these two ideas in the lesson this morning. Our text this morning is going to come from Mark, the Gospel of Mark chapter 4, verses 33 through 41. And quite a bit of the scriptures we're going to talk about this morning are going to come from that chapter of Mark. But for the beginning of our lesson this morning, we'll begin reading with verse 33. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. In the same day, when the evening was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was, in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Throughout the Gospels, we read about the story of Jesus and how he went about teaching and preaching and preparing people for the kingdom of God that was going to be established by his teaching and ratified by his death on the cross. And it's fascinating to me to see the reaction of the apostles and the disciples as they followed about with Jesus, and how even though they saw the great miracles that he performed, oftentimes they didn't seem to grasp the things that he was saying to them. And of course, in retrospect, it's easy for us to say that. If we were there, I'm sure that we would have been in the same position. But we also find many people in the world today that are in that position where they hear the Word of God, or they pick up the Bible and read it, and for whatever reason, it doesn't sink in with them. And that's where the parable of the good seed, as we're going to talk about, becomes a good illustration for us to understand other people's reaction, and for us to be able to help people to see what it is that the Bible has to speak to us today. Before we continue with our lesson this morning, however, though, we have an opportunity and a privilege of going to God in a word of prayer. Won't each of you now humble yourselves in some manner while Brother Joshua leads us in that prayer. One of the excuses that we hear people use today to ignore the Christian life is that the Bible is too hard for them to understand. As we said before, it's fascinating to look back and read about the apostles as they traveled about with Jesus. It's obvious that they were in the same boat, so to speak, as we read in the text, as many people today. They are worried about things. As we saw, they knew to go to Jesus when they were in trouble. They're out on the sea, and the boat is being rocked by the wind, and they're afraid that it's going to capsize. And as we realize, boats and ships in that day in history were not nearly as sturdy as the ones that we have today, and so it wouldn't take much of a storm or the waves swelling to capsize one of those boats or to break it apart. So they were very fearful, and they knew to turn to Jesus for help. And yet it says that they were they feared exceedingly when they saw that he could calm the wind. So they knew that Jesus was one that had power from God. He had great authority from God. And as they traveled about with him, it was as if they knew, they realized that they had to follow him because he was who he said he was, and yet they didn't really perceive a lot of the things that he said. Though the miracles that he performed showed that he had authority from God. However, many times the things that they taught the things that Jesus taught left the apostles questioning the meaning of what he said. And again, we see today that people say that they don't, that they read the Bible and they don't understand the message that it has for them. And today we're going to try to help us understand that and how we can help other people to see that it's not as complicated as they make it out to be. Isaiah 55, beginning of verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. As Isaiah writes here, we see that God's thoughts are higher than man's thoughts, and his ways are higher than man's ways. So when Jesus came to teach, he couldn't teach the things of God in a way that was too hard for people to understand. So we see that he came teaching the very simplest way that he possibly could. We also see where Paul wrote in Philippians 4 and 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Even today, with the education that man has and the technology that we have, we still realize that God's ways are really above our understanding. We worship Him. We love Him. We desire to do the things that He would have us to do so that we can have an eternal home with Him. And yet, there are things that happen and transpire that we don't understand, just such as was mentioned in the prayer, this tidal wave that's killed hundreds of thousands of people. It's hard for a lot of people to see things like that happen, and they wonder why God lets things like that happen. But God has a plan for mankind, and as we see in these scriptures, His plan and His ways are above our understanding. Many times, it comes down to the fact that we have to accept that His will is done in all things. We also read Paul's writing in Romans chapter 11, beginning with verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out! For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been His counselor? Or who hath first given to Him, that it shall be recompensed unto Him again? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. So we see that it's really impossible for man to fully understand and comprehend the things of God. It's hard for us to grasp the idea of heaven. We look at the description of heaven in the book of Revelations, and it's described to us as a city that's made with gold and other precious metals and rubies and jewels and things of this nature. And this illustration is given to us because it was known of God that these things that always have value to men. And it's something that we can look upon, and it starts to give us an illustration of what heaven is like, but we know that no words could describe the boundless joy that we'll find if we have an eternal home there. It's beyond our human comprehension, and so are many of the ways of God. So we see that when God sent Jesus here to the earth to teach man the things that He would have them to do, that Jesus came and He taught in the simplest way possible. He came bringing a message that even the most common people would understand, those who were uneducated. And regardless of how sophisticated our society becomes today, we know that there are still areas in the world that are not very far removed from the way things were in the day in which Jesus walked upon the earth. There are still cultures and areas of this world where the technology that we take for granted every day doesn't exist, and where people very much live the way they did back in the times of the beginning of the New Testament. So we see that the Word of God was designed by God and given to the authors of the Old and New Testament, as we know, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and it was designed to reach the greatest common denominator. It was designed so that anyone with an ability of understanding could comprehend the things that God would have man to do. And as the parables that we're going to look at, the parable we're going to look at today as we begin to study shows, Jesus used things of common knowledge that even uneducated people could grasp his teaching. And many times I think people, when they say they don't understand it, it's because they try to make it too hard. Many times today, we see people, if something seems too simple to them, they don't seem to grasp it. It's like they're looking for something to be harder than it really is. And I know men in particular, I think, are guilty of this. A lot of times we'll buy something that needs to be assembled, and you don't even look at the directions right away. You start trying to put it together because you think you know what you're doing. And more often than not, in my case, you always end up going back and having to read the instructions anyway because there's something there that you thought you knew that you didn't. And we find that, that the Bible is this way as well. We need to study it. We're told to study it daily, that we can edify ourselves, and not only ourselves, but that we can help others. And it was designed for this purpose. And as we're going to see, Jesus taught in parables because his illustrations, most of them were based on nature and things that happened and occurred in everyday life. And there are things that wouldn't change regardless of the technology that we have. Many of these things are still basic in the world today. We know at the time when Jesus came into the world that the Jews were at a point where they were groaning because of the restrictions of the old law and the customs and traditions that the Jews had added to the old law had placed them in a point where they felt almost as if they were in bondage again to Egypt because of all the things that they had to observe and take part in. The observance of holy days and feasts, instead of being a celebration, had become a burden unto them. And under the New Testament, it would be established that man would have an easier path to finding acceptance to God and pleasing God if he chooses to walk that path. And that's the key right there, is choosing and accepting the things that God would have us to do. We know, for example, under the old law that was the capital of worship there. And as we read in the Gospels, at the time of the Passover and the big important Sabbaths and things of this nature, the Jewish worship, that people would flock to that city because that's where the temple was at. And we know that Jesus told the woman up at the mountain that it would no longer be in Jerusalem or in any mountain where God would be worshipped, but everywhere. He made it easier for us. When Jesus came and taught the New Testament and established the New Testament church, God made it easier for it to be a child of his because these kind of restrictions were no longer held against us. We also know that it's something that a lot of other religion, so to speak, tend to cling to the Ten Commandments, and we know that those aren't always, that some of those are in effect, but some are not. They try to bring the Old Testament into the New, and if that were the case, we realize when we go back and study the Old Testament that people caught in doing certain things that are wrong, they were taken outside the city and stoned to death. And we know, of course, obviously that's not acceptable in this country because of the laws of the land, and it's not acceptable in the laws of God anymore, because Jesus came teaching a love and a peace and understanding, and we realize that God is the one who eventually is going to either reward us for the life that we've lived or punish us accordingly. When we hear people talk about the Bible being hard to understand, we realize that like anything else in life that's worth having, it takes work. We're not just handed the things that we want, and people that are handed the things that they want usually turn out not respecting or appreciating them. And we realize that the Old English or the King James translation sometimes does raise difficulties in understanding certain things, but the more we study, we realize the more we learn, and the more we learn, we realize that we'll never learn everything that the Bible has to teach us, because the more you study it, the more you turn it around. I like to think of kind of like a Rubik's Cube, which was the, if you remember, was the thing that was real popular a few years back where you would turn this cube over and over and try to line up all the colors. And in a way, the Bible's kind of like that. It's the more you study it and turn it around and understand it, then things become tied closer and closer together. And it's almost as if God designed it in a way that you would never learn everything there is to know in the span of a normal human life. You can't really come to grasp with everything that it has to teach you, and I think it's designed that way to keep us studying and to keep us wanting to find out more and more about the things that God would have us to do. The main problem I think we have with getting people to come to church and getting them to accept the things that the Bible teaches is their acceptance of what God would have them to do. Many times we find people who understand the message. If we're able to get people to come to church with us, they understand what's being said. They understand what it is that God wants them to do, but they refuse to heed the warnings that the New Testament has for them or accept the blessings that it offers to them. And we find this frustrating, I know, when we have friends and loved ones that we care greatly about, and we would like to see them enjoy the same blessings that we hope to find in heaven, and it becomes very difficult and frustrating for us at times, I believe, to try to work with people and convince them that this is the thing God would have us to do. So what we want to do for our time this morning is look at the parable of the good seed, see what it has to teach us, and see how we can use its example to help teach others and help them to see that that once you get into the Bible and begin to study it, that it isn't hard to understand. Jesus tried to make it as easy for us as possible, and again, a lot of it's not understanding as much as acceptance. So we're going to look at Mark chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, we see here with Jesus again, he's in front of a great multitude of people. And so as he begins to teach this parable, he realizes there's people in this crowd who are educated. Many times the scribes and the Pharisees came down from the temple to hear the things that Jesus had to say, because his teachings were causing quite a stir, obviously amongst the Jews, because those were the people at that time that he was going out to meet and to prepare for the coming of the kingdom of God. There were also many common people, farmers, fishermen, people who worked in the market sewing clothing or baskets or things of this nature. So when this multitude came down to hear the things that Jesus had to say, just as any group of people gets together, you have a lot of different people with a lot of different backgrounds and varying degrees of knowledge and education. So what he did is he would pick something to teach to them that was something that was simple, something that was common around them, and something that would help them to understand the point that he was trying to make to them. This is something that I think I have a great affinity for because of the many years that I've been with Joy, and sometimes when she doesn't understand something, I have to try to find a likeness or a comparison to make an illustration if there's something that she doesn't understand to help her explain it. And I think this is what personally has given me an affinity for the parables, especially because there's beauty in the simplicity of what the way that Jesus teaches. And I really wish that I had that ability to get my ideas and thoughts across as easily as he does. We'll continue reading with verse 3. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And others fell on the ground, and it did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. This is a scenario that, as we said, even the uneducated of that day could grasp. As long as man continues upon the face of the earth, that we have to eat, As long as we have to eat, we know that there has to be someone to till the ground and to harvest crops. I don't think man's ever going to become technologically sophisticated enough to go away. So we see that, again, the ideas that are presented are common knowledge to the people that Jesus is speaking to. We can imagine that there was confusion amongst many of the people who came down to hear Jesus speak. As we said, many times the scribes and Pharisees would come and listen to him, and no doubt they were expecting some sort of cerebral, spiritual-type teaching that many there would not understand unless they were knowledgeable in the doctrines of the Old Testament. Many came, no doubt, to hear Jesus entice the crowd to bear arms and rise up against the Romans, because we know that as he began to talk about the kingdom that he was going to establish, many people just assumed that he meant that the Jews were going to lead the Jews in a rebellion against the Romans, in a civil war to rise up against the Roman rule that was over them. And I'm sure that many of these people came down here expecting to hear many different things. I don't think very many of them expected to hear Jesus talking about farming. But as we realize, it wasn't farming that he was talking about. Mark 4 will begin reading in verse 10. And when he was alone, they that were with him, with the 12, asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. Now we'll ask ourselves, what is it that Jesus is talking about here? And we realize that he's referring back to the writings of the prophet Isaiah, and we can read about this in Isaiah 6, beginning with verse 8. Also I hear the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. The eyes and ears of the Jews, we realize, had been dulled of perception. They had become complacent in their own worship, and they didn't recognize the sign of the times and realize that the Messiah that they had been promised in the Old Testament was now walking amongst them. They didn't see Jesus for who he was. They didn't understand that he was the Messiah that had been promised. They failed to listen to John the Baptist as he proclaimed that Jesus was there. Many people thought John was the Messiah, and he told them there was one coming after him of whom he was not worthy to latch his shoes. They know that he spoke of Jesus, and yet the people that Jesus came to save and to build his church on, many of them ignored him because they realized who he was. Matthew 24, beginning with verse 8. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation, such as not was since the beginning of the world to this time, no nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Here we see that Jesus was warning the people of the prophecy of Daniel. that was going to come to pass. We know this took place 40 years after the death of Jesus. This was a time of testing that was given to the Jews to accept Christianity in the New Testament before their temple in the city of Jerusalem would be destroyed. And we know that because of the unbelief of the Jews, many of them were killed by the Roman army in 70 AD. Now, getting back to our topic this morning and talking about the good seed, I'm going to attempt in my own feeble way here to show what Jesus was talking about here. We think of farming today. We know we have very sophisticated equipment that plows the fields, and even if you have a garden at home, you have like a tiller or something that tills up the ground, and we know that this is going to represent the ground here that's all ready to for the seed. And we know that usually on the edge there'll be an area, and this is going to be the stony ground, and then this will be off past that where the weeds are. In Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 13, "And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable, and how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth a word, and these are they that by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts." Now, if you've ever sown a garden or even grass, you know, if you do it by hand or even if you have one of the machines that you push, it kind of throws the seeds out. So if you were at the edge of a field, some of the seeds would land where you want them to, and some of them would fall over here, and some of them even may end up over here. And the first situation that Jesus talks about here is a bird that flies down and catches that seed before it even has a chance to be absorbed into the ground and begin to grow. And this, he said, represents people who are exposed to the Word of God. And, of course, we know in our illustration, the seed represents the Word. And as we said, all the seed is good because the Word of God is good. And the seed that's caught up by the bird represents people who may be exposed to the Word of God and hear it, and the cares and concerns of this life snatch them away before it really has time to take hold. And that's what's represented by the seed not even making it to the ground. The bird flies along and catches it up, and it doesn't have a chance to do what the seed was designed to do. Beginning with verse 16 of chapter 4 of Mark. "And these are like they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended." This is the seed that he's talking about that falls over here in the stony ground. And now this is ground that hasn't been churned up like this, so it's hard. Down here, we're not really used to hard soil. I know where I grew up in Indiana, you usually had to have a jackhammer if you wanted to have a garden because the red clay that we have up there is very hard. And we see this ground hasn't been prepared. It's stony. It's hard. The seed falls. And what happens is, as it goes in, we know that when a plant grows, it begins to take root first. And then the part that grows above the earth will begin to grow. And what Jesus said about this seed is that because the root can't penetrate the ground, it grows up instead of down. And it doesn't have any kind of... It doesn't have anything to hold on to. And this represents people, and we've all seen people come into the church. They come in, they hear the Word of God, they accept it, they're baptized, they're anxious and excited, they're gung-ho about life as a Christian. And it's almost like the candle that burns twice as bright only burns for half as long. Before long, something comes along. Maybe their family objects to the fact that they want to be a member of a body of Christ. Maybe the cares of this world entice them or things of this nature, but because they have no root, as Jesus said, the sun comes out and they wither, or something comes along and pulls them out, but they don't have any foundation, and that's why they're able to be swept away by the world. And we know this is a sad thing, and it's sad when it happens, but we know that's why we have to constantly be good examples to other people And especially when we get people come in, new people come in and accept the truth, we have to do what we can to encourage them and to build them up and help them to establish roots so that they can grow and not be swept away by the things of the world. Mark 4:18 and 19. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. This is the seed that he's talking about that falls over here in the weeds. This is even farther away from the ground that's been prepared for it. And sometimes they'll start to grow. They'll grow right in here with the weeds, but the weeds eventually block out the sun, or the weeds may have a better root system, and they absorb more of the moisture, and they begin to choke out the plant as it tries to grow there. And this we see, unfortunately, is something that happens not only amongst new converts, but sometimes it can happen to people who were raised in the church, who've been members of the church all their life. And when the weeds, which obviously represents the cares and concerns of this life, begin to choke out the things that God would have us to do, we see that eventually these people become unfruitful. They're drugged farther and farther away from the church and the things that God would have them to do, and they're no longer living for God. And many times we see that these things can happen, and they usually sneak up on us. And we can find many times, I'm sure, if we examine ourselves, that we fall into danger of these things happening to us as well. Things begin to creep in. And that's usually the way, if we're strong, that's usually the only way that Satan can get to us, is the sneak attack, so to speak. And we lower our guard a little bit, and things begin to creep in that we kind of ignore until all of a sudden we realize we're having a problem with it. But as we see, this seed is represented by people who let the world choke out the things that God would have them to do, and we certainly don't want to be found in that position. Mark 4:20. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And of course, he's talking about the seed that falls on good ground. It grows up, it's strong, it's fruitful. And we realize the illustration that Jesus is teaching here is something that anybody there should have been able to understand, because even if they weren't farmers, many people back then had to grow, have little gardens or something to sustain themselves, or something that they could take to the market and trade for other goods that they needed. So this was something that they should all have understood and grasped, and Jesus is trying to put a spiritual application to this understanding of the physical world. Now, obviously, soil can't move itself around. But the illustration here is that as the soil, when we accept the seed, it depends on what we do with the seed, determines what kind of soil we are. If we let the seed, if we let the word into our hearts and into our minds, and we begin to do the things that the word tells us to do, obviously we're going to grow and be fruitful. If we burn brightly for a short time and then fade out, that's because of what's inside us. The ground, the seed has come into us, we're hot for a while and burning bright, and then all of a sudden we burn out. That's because of something within us has allowed that to happen, and the same with this. So as the soil, we realize that we've been prepared. When we hear the word, we're prepared. We begin to be prepared. Obviously, the more we learn and understand, the stronger we become, and we can think of that as the roots. The stronger our foundation becomes, as we saw in the hurricanes we had last year, the wind, a strong wind can uproot some of the largest trees, and you see them come out of the ground, and you see the root system that they have, and you realize the illustration again that as Christians we should desire to have deep roots. The more we learn, the deeper our roots become, and the more we become grounded in the truth, and that's what the way that Jesus would have us to be. Obviously, it's God's desire and the desire of Jesus that all people be as the ground that's been prepared, that the seed comes and it goes right in and it gets to doing what it's designed to do. But obviously, as we see, there's different types of soil here in the world. There's different types of people. There are people who are susceptible to the Word of God, who are looking for answers to the questions of life, and when they hear the Word of God, they receive the seed as a good ground. There's other people that are looking for something. When they're exposed to the truth, they realize it may not be what they're looking for. They may be looking for a church that has a good basketball team or something instead of a church that teaches the truth. And unfortunately, these people are the ones that are most heartbreaking, I think, to lose, because we always feel like there's maybe something else that we could have said or done, but ultimately we know that each and every one of us is responsible for our own salvation and living the way that we should, and we just have to do the best we can to be examples to others. And of course, the people that we lose as well that were part of the church and let the cares of the world drag them away, that is sad as well. And we realize that every time we think about a field, we realize that at the end of this life, as Jesus taught in another parable, there's going to be a harvest. And the good wheat is going to go into the barn, so to speak, as we think of heaven. And the chaff or the weeds is going to be cast into the fire and burned, because it's not profitable for God. It's not profitable for the farmer, and thus, as the illustration implies, it's not profitable for God. And it'll be cast out and burnt. And obviously, we don't want to be in that pile. We want to be in the barn, so to speak, or have a home in heaven. Hopefully, the lesson this morning has given us a better idea of what Jesus was trying to teach in the parables. I think it's very important for us to go back and to look at those and to realize that the message is simple, and we need to prepare ourselves as the good ground, and we need to absorb everything that everything that the Bible has to tell us. And sometimes I think we need to kind of pattern our thinking after the parables and realize that as plants in God's field, so to speak, that are looking to grow and be fruitful, we need to accept fertilizer and the things that God would have us to do. And obviously we receive this through studying, through being a present when the church is assembled, and fellowshipping one with another, encouraging one another, and that's how we all can grow as Christians. That brings us to the conclusion of the lesson. As always, we offer the services of the church to those who would. Won't you come while we stand and sing?